Welcome to episode 21. You know what that means?
Oh, I do indeed. Episode XXI.
What can it do?
The podcast is now old enough to rent a car and buy liquor.
Legally.
Yes.
We still pay stupidly high car rental fees.
But you can do it now.
Yes. The first voice you heard was the
Dr. Soren Fanning,
who is
friendly neighborhood historian.
There he goes again.
He will keep going.
He will again. You cannot stop me. And the other voice you heard is, of course, producer extraordinaire and also the voice of reason, and he is
John Roland. Hey, look at that. I actually said my name for once.
Exactly. Congratulations.
You conned me into it.
Yes, I did.
That's three nights of decent sleep talking right there.
That's also fair.
That'll work. Yeah. And I am Anthony Moretti, who is an associate professor in the Department of Communication. All three of us are at Robert Morris University.
Yes,
Episode 21, scenic
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where we are enjoying a winter. Wait, spring. Wait, summer. Wait, fall. Summer again.
No, it's like, you know, it's. But remember, global warming.
It was 76 degrees outside in February.
You lied. It was 78.
This is true. That ain't right.
You lied.
And now it's only 61.
No, I didn't lie. I was mistaken.
No, you lied. You presented a number that was not true. Well, and that is the theme.
Yes, the theme of today.
Of today's episode 21.
Podcast. Filthy liars and the lies they tell.
Indeed. Upon further review with the take two. No, let's not take two. This is what live radio is all for. Upon further review with the podcast profs. Now.
Fun class you just got out of, wasn't it?
That's all, folks. As we said, today's podcast and its theme is
filthy, stinking liars.
Now, yeah. I got to admit, among the worst possible lies you can tell is to a federal prosecutor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
So, boys and girls. I'm going to give you a batting practice fastball, and I'm going to let you just skewer the idiot who thought it was a good idea to lie not only to a federal prosecutor, but to a federal special counsel.
Well, Bob Mueller himself, I mean, yesterday we got the 18th indictment of this whole investigation. And a Dutch lawyer, by the way, who was connected with Paul Manafort, which means, legally speaking, Paul Manafort right now is being very slowly roasted over a spit by Mueller.
Which is an image I don't want to see.
But what's interesting is this is further evidence that Rick Gates, Manafort's aide-de-camp, has flipped, that he is now cooperating. So far, we, of the Americans that have been charged, because all 13 Russians are, well, in Russia, and I'm sure Vladimir Putin will not be extraditing them.
No. Yet.
There is no crime, because I say so. They stay here. But the fact that we now have a lawyer, and what's interesting is the message Mueller is sending. This guy, Van der Zwan, I think his name was, is a peripheral player at best, but he's also sending a message to everyone in D.C., I do not care how much of a small fish you are. If you lie to the FBI, you will be indicted. And as someone predicted, these people are the world's worst conspirators because they are flipping left and right on each other. I can only guess at what Mueller knows. But if I can backtrack a moment.
Please.
Late, I think, was it Friday or Saturday?
Friday.
We got the 13 indictments against the Russians for interfering in the election. And what's important about this is the Justice Department saying, using legally obtained evidence, we can prove in a court of law beyond a reasonable doubt that the Russian government carried out acts of information warfare against the United States in the 2016 election. Let us be real clear. This was an attack against the United States by Russia. And I'd like to point out that the current president of the United States, if he's not guilty, he sure as hell is acting like it.
I read a what I thought was a particularly important editorial by Jonah Goldberg, who is with the National Review and whose editorials are syndicated in various newspapers around the country.
Full disclosure, I think Jonah Goldberg is a twit.
Okay. But, all right. Now, for the most part, I think he is too. But again, my politics,
that,
whatever.
But that doesn't necessarily mean he's wrong. I'm just saying typically he's a twit.
He wrote something last week that I thought was particularly valuable. He said, you know, if we consider Donald Trump's past, we consider a man who has been married 3 times, divorced twice. We consider a man who chased all sorts of women when he was either single or married, who has been bankrupt numerous times.
Correct.
Who has largely not been held to account for any of the actions that he has undertaken in his past. And he said, you know, with anybody as reckless as that, with anybody with that obvious lack of discipline.
Sense of entitlement.
Yeah. What gives us any belief that Donald Trump would be able to be part of a conspiracy that it would have taken to really fudge up the election? But maybe more importantly, Donald Trump, who can't keep his mouth shut, does anybody really think if he had information and knew of collusion that he would stay this quiet this long?
Okay, a couple things about
now,
that.
Let me just wrap up fast. Goldberg's point was that he thinks, at best, Trump is either hopelessly sort of devoid of common sense and therefore could not be part of something like this because he doesn't have the brain power to pull it off. Or at worst, is such a blabbermouth that nobody would have put him in position to knowingly be part of something like this because he just spilled the beans.
Okay, so a couple things. I see where Goldberg is going. In my opinion, this simply reinforces my earlier twit assessment. Your Honor, I present Exhibit A. But a couple things. One, ignorance and incompetence are not defenses, because if it were, a lot more stupid and ignorant people would be using them. You can't just say, I'm too dumb to have pulled this off, because here's the thing. You don't have to succeed. That's thing one. Thing two, let's be real clear. Mueller is not investigating. He's not charging anyone with collusion, because collusion is not a crime. Mm-hmm. So as much as Donald Trump, in his absolutely lack of filter, pure id Twitter, keeps screaming about no collusion, you know, that's like me being under investigation for money laundering and said, I never beat my wife. Well, no kidding. That's not what we're investigating you for. Mueller is looking at two things. Number one, he spelled it out, by the way, in this 13-person indictment, conspiracy to defraud the United States. You do not have to, all it's alleging is two questions. One, did the Trump campaign either seek or accept Russian help in swaying the election? That includes, by the way, an indictment that hasn't yet to be unsealed, and that's the hacking of the DNC. And two, did the Trump campaign, not necessarily Trump himself, but the Trump campaign seek to conceal this fact from federal authorities? That's what conspiracy is about. We are not going to get an email. Okay, I shouldn't speak in absolutes, because with this idiot crew, anything is possible. But I highly doubt we're going to get an email. So, dear Vlad, could you please hack crooked Hillary so I can win the election? Hugs and kisses, Don. I really doubt we're going to get, but you never know. So that's thing one.
That would be an email thing, and we know what that for what good that was.
Right. Yeah, butter emails. But over here in the second bucket, this is the big one. This is the obstruction bucket. And that's
which
the other thing
is
investigation.
Which is where you and I both think Trump is on much weaker ground.
Well, considering he pretty much admitted to obstruction on national television with Lester Holt. The chief problem with obstruction is you have to prove, legally speaking, that steps were made, to impede or shut down or divert an investigation. And here's the key thing, with corrupt intent. You have to prove a mindset.
Well, the president told Lester Holt what he was thinking, and it was about the Russia investigation, when he fired James Comey last March. But there's another aspect that is even further digging his grave on this one, politically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
When Mike Flynn pled guilty, remember that?
Yes.
And Trump said, I had to fire him because he lied to the FBI. Okay, whoa, 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 whoa. You're saying you knew the man had committed a crime. Lying to the FBI is a crime.
And you hired him anyway.
Yeah, please note that this Dutch lawyer just pled guilty to that.
Mm-hmm.
You knew Flynn led to the FBI, lied to the FBI, and yet you still asked FBI Director Jim Comey I hope you can see your way to letting this go, yep, to stopping an investigation of a known criminal. Mm-hmm. By definition, that is obstruction.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds exactly like something a mob boss would say, mm-hmm, maybe.
Right.
Just mm-hmm a thought.
And by the way, his number one defense is, well, I said, I hope that wasn't giving an order. I got news for you. If you're going to testify against a mob boss and he says, that's a nice house you got there, it would be a shame if anything were to mm-hmm happen to it. Mm-hmm. That's not just blue skying.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, so, you know, the president is saying there's no collusion. That is not what is being investigated.
Mm-hmm. My guess is, and to some extent, this has always been my contention, that either and all of Trump's two sons, son-in-law, and people close to him, Mike Flynn, Paul Manafort, etc., I think they saw a golden opportunity to get him elected, and I think in either their corrupt ways or in their infantile ways, being either harsh or kind, that they—
Corruptly infantile?
Well, it could be that too, that they broke the law. And I think Trump, as to some extent what you would imagine any father trying to do, is trying to make this as easy, for lack of a better phrase, on them when the punishment happens. I don't believe, this is me speaking personally, and then we'll get on to lie number two for this week. I don't think personally Trump knowingly was involved in this. I do think, knowing how he conducts his business, though, it very well might have been a kind of, do whatever the hell you want, just don't get me in trouble.
You know, I'm going to just slightly disagree before we move on to lie number two.
Mm-hmm.
I think he didn't care. Well, at the end of the day,
I will accept that too.
This is a guy who, anytime he's gotten in trouble, and please note, he's very good at getting in trouble. Well, he is. Every single time, his solution has always been the same. There's got to be an amount of money that will make this go away. And for the first time in his life, which is not surprising considering he had no idea what the presidency involved and never had any intention to win, he is now in a situation where there is no amount of money that is going to make this go away.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, if he completely reversed the national debt and gave it the same surplus, people might forgive him. But that even that's a stretch.
Well, I was going to say, unless he's got $40 trillion hidden away somewhere, I doubt that's going to
happen.
Give
him a couple years and they'll say he has it.
Well, that would be Vlad.
But what's interesting about this is what you're seeing is the intersection from these people who have basically gotten through life by frankly inventing their own realities on mm-hmm a daily basis. I mean,
yes.
Literally his lawyers have said we can't have him talk to Mueller because he lies so often he believes his own bullcrap.
Yep. Which is a story in this week's New Yorker magazine that is really intriguing to read. It essentially makes right the point that Trump doesn't necessarily know if he's telling the truth or if he's lying, because a lot of times he'll just say something and then therefore because he said it, it has to be the case. All right, now.
But here's the thing. What these indictments are doing, I just want to wrap this up.
Go ahead.
This is where reality butts in and refuses to leave. You can say this is nonsense all you want. It's not going to make the indictment go away.
No, it won't.
It doesn't make proof go away. So
other places where people would like things to go away includes doping in the Olympics. All right?
This has got to be the most ridiculous doping charge I've ever heard in my life.
I haven't even heard this, so now I'm curious.
Now, let's imagine for just a moment that your country almost got booted out of the Olympic Games entirely.
And then got a made-up country, quote-unquote.
A made-up country. And let's say that the under this hypothetical opportunity or example, that the International Olympic Committee is debating whether your country ought to be reinstated. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. Reinstated in time for the 2020 Winter or Summer Games in Tokyo. What message do you think you would be sending to the Olympic athletes from hypothetical country under this example?
The Organization of Accused Russians?
That too. You would think you would tell them, whatever you do, don't do doping. Well, this week, are you ready for this?
It is horrible. It is terrible. We would never, never, never do such a thing more than twice.
It's like that moment in Casablanca, you know? I'm shocked that there's gambling going on in this establishment. So
you're winning, sir. Oh, thank you.
An Olympic athlete from Russia, and I'm holding off on the sport, and don't you give it away yet.
No, it's literally, it has to be the last sport you would even consider.
An Olympic athlete from Russia.
I haven't watched, but I'm just betting curling.
Yes.
Wait, seriously?
Yes. No, seriously.
An Olympic athlete from Russia this week who won the bronze medal with his wife in mixed doubles curling failed a doping test, both the first sample and the backup sample. They are certainly to be stripped of their bronze medal.
God.
The Norwegians who finished fourth will be booted up to third and get the bronze medal. And of course, is now questions as to whether Russia will be allowed to have its flag as part of the closing ceremonies. But the bigger issue is whether Russia will be reinstated in time for the
Just give them a white flag with a big syringe on it. I mean, it's just...
Curling?
Well, first of all, I saw this team, and I got to say, this woman has pipes like a drill sergeant.
But she's not the one who did the stuff.
I would not want to be the one having to say, honey, I got caught doping. Let me put it that way. But curling? I can do curling.
Yes.
And I am so out of shape. When I die, my body will be donated to science fiction. I mean, I am the least athletic human being, certainly in this room, probably on this campus.
Maybe he didn't like the stones he had?
Hey-o.
Oh, should I stop now?
Boy, is his face rouge.
I'm just going to let this go.
Yeah, please do.
Oh, man. Curling?
Can you explain this outside of it's a rampant cheating going on and this guy happened to be
Your
one
country
of them?
Has been virtually disbarred for doping.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like the Josh Gordon of the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I mean... Mm-hmm.
I admire the determination to be consistent, I guess, though. I mean, to have your country basically removed and then still show up for the exact reason they were removed, I'm impressed.
But here's the thing. In some ways, you only got the bronze.
Yeah.
Like, at least cheat well.
But maybe without the bronze, they finish fifth or sixth.
Which point, why bother doping?
Because you want to win a medal.
Yeah, I know. Now, this brings up, of course, the whole issue of why is doping illegal?
Why is doping illegal?
No, I mean, that's an honest question.
Yeah.
Because so many other performance-enhancing things are
Such
permitted.
Such as?
Well, I mean, yeah, people going into hyperbaric chambers and people training essentially, even though they're supposed to be amateurs, with professional help and on multivitamin supplements and whatever the nonsense Tom Brady's going off about. Or they do all these other things, but this is off limits.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know where the line is.
Here's why I think it's considered illegal. Because for lack of a better phrase, I think there are two issues at hand. Number one, people can't monetize it, at least legally and ethically. And I think it's also kind of confusing and we know it's harmful to the body long term. And so I think there's this sense of...
So is ripping an ACL.
Well, yeah. So I think to some extent what we're seeing is a kind of let's not accept this in our games or in our sport because it doesn't have the kind of credibility that working hard does.
Remember that Canadian sprinter?
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson.
1988.
Yep. You know, and I get the logic.
Who for years, by the way, said essentially that the IOC was out to get him because he was a black man from Jamaica who had won for Canada. Didn't work. He finally admitted the truth.
Yeah.
So that's why I think we deal with it. But
do you mind if I throw in my input?
Please.
It might also be because there are people who are allergic to the steroids that they have to use to do it. Disqualify yourself for something that you can't physically control.
That would make sense.
It's just a weird bar to have. Like, oh, you're really good at it, but you can't do the steroids you need to be good enough.
And don't get me wrong. It's just
a limitation that you can't overpass.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And I am not trying to defend doping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, for me, it seems an arbitrary line. I mean, I completely see what you're saying. But regardless, you know it's illegal. Your country got booted out because you broke the law.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just, it's like,
whoops.
It's like celebrating being sentenced to 30 days for speeding by doing a donut in the police parking lot.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, what are you doing?
Three wrongs make a right. He just needs to make one more wrong. Yeah.
This is good. See? We're going to miss him when he graduates.
Absolutely. Ethical calculus.
I know. And what was our third lie of the week?
Oh, my God. I've forgotten. What was it?
What was the third lie of the week? You don't remember?
No, there was the whole Russia investigation, Dutch lawyer nonsense.
Right.
There was doping. What am I forgetting?
So am I. I'm forgetting it too, which is embarrassing on live radio.
Well, there have been numerous. I mean, we could talk about the entire tweet storm that went out.
Oh, I remember what it was going to be.
Which, by the way, the president effectively lost his dang mind over the weekend because he couldn't go golfing when he's supposed to be mourning dead kids that he's not mourning. Okay, fine. By the way, we're not getting into the gun debate
right now. Are we going to get into their marriage. It looks like it's on really, really, really thin ice.
Was it ever on thick ice, though?
I have no idea.
Well, okay, now the comedian Bill Maher, harsher than I would ever be, but it is a funny, funny line.
Okay.
Is basically saying that Melania Trump at this point is about as angry as the day she was unpacked by Donald.
Oy,
yeah. I mean, I don't blame Melania Trump one iota.
Oh, by the way, there was a story today. By the way, we record this podcast on a Wednesday that it does appear as though her parents got to the United States by chain migration.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember what the third lie was.
Okay, well, let me just finish this.
Because I got to go off on alt-right trolls.
Oh, by all means. But real quick. Oh, yeah. Now I remember too.
Yeah.
But so he can't go play golf. So apparently he's skulking around Mar-a-Lago holding his putter. read into that as you will. And basically just getting more and more angry watching television and starts to. Are we to the point where we as a country, and I can't claim credit for this joke, this is from Dan Pfeiffer from, Pod Save America, but it's a good joke. Do we need the Cat in the Hat to distract him?
Maybe
on a day where he's reined in? Like, maybe do we need a wacky, zany, anthropomorphic animal to take him on wild and crazy adventures so he puts the phone down?
Maybe so.
I mean, even I want that. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Now, the alt-right trolls.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord. The alt-right trolls.
Can we just call them white nationalists instead of alt-right?
Oh, sure. You can call them whatever you want.
Well, no, I can't. This is a family radio show.
Well, that's true. The trolls are now trying to convince you that the high school students from Florida are being coached.
This again.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Are being coached by the liberals to say exactly what they're supposed to say.
Oh, no, they're paid actors. And that's the new one.
Yes, they're paid. You know, it's only a matter of time before we get the troll that comes out and says one of two things, that either this shooting never really happened.
That's the Sandy Hook one.
Right. There's the Sandy Hook, conspiracy, or that these kids encourage this kid to shoot up the school. You know one of those two are coming. Because what you have to do when you know...
And this is why Russia was able to weaponize propaganda. This is it.
Yes. You know as well as I, and I'm trying not to get worked up here, but it's
too late.
It's coming, yeah. you know as well as I what is taking place here is when you cannot discredit the message, you have to attack the messenger. And to suggest that these kids are less than noble and less than honest and less than passionate in what they are attempting to do, whether they succeed or not is another story altogether, and we won't know an answer immediately. But to suggest that these kids are being used, framed, coached, dictated to, whatever, is asinine. And asinine is a kind
disgusting
word to use. Disgusting is a little better. There are still other words I'd like to
cowardly
use, but won't. Cowardly is good as well.
See, I'm personally in favor. Can we just give the entire elected government a timeout until the midterms and just let these kids from Parkland run the country for a while?
Oh, it would be interesting.
Well, we couldn't do worse.
By the way, did you see the kids in Kansas who are running for governor at age 17?
Oh, love it.
And it's legal?
Love it.
Wait, what?
There is love it. There when they put together the state laws in the state of Kansas many, many moons ago, they never listed an age minimum for somebody to run for governor. And so there are about four, I think it is, kids who are 17 years old in Kansas who are running for governor, and legally now they cannot be taken off the ballot. And there is a genuine fear, what happens if?
How does...
Why are we worried about this? Have you seen the jokers that are running the show now?
Could you imagine a governor of Kansas who's 18 years old?
I'd be happy with that.
Oh,
I'll take my chances.
I think it would be hysterical.
Well, we got a two-year-old running the country, so why not?
Hey, you're insulting two-year-olds.
No, that's true. That is unfair.
I'd be curious to see it. It's not my state. It's kind of not my problem.
Plus, it's Kansas, which was in a gigantic mess anyway, thanks to Sam Brownback.
Well, like I said, they can't do any worse. You know, it's interesting. One final thought before we have to wrap here.
Yep.
We are at what the information age has given us is a brand new moment in world history throughout the entirety of the human experience. Up until really the last 20 years, which in terms of history is a blink of an eye, the big challenge has always been getting enough information to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
We now have the opposite problem. Mm-hmm. We are drowning in information. There is a project I would love to do this. And I think I need to talk to you about this. We need a clearinghouse to verify information. Not so much edit it, because you don't want to say, well, I agree with this and not with this, but just what's real and what isn't. And part of how do you beat this sort of weaponized propaganda? You have to be what the founders intended, an educated voter. In other words, if something sounds completely ridiculous, don't believe it until you've seen it verified by at least two other sources.
Mm-hmm.
Don't trust the guy on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's me.
Well, you're not the guy on the internet. You're Dr. Anthony Moretti.
That's true, but I am a guy, and I am on the internet.
No, I'm talking about the guy.
Oh,
capital
that
letters.
Guy. Yeah,
the guy.
Ken M. on Yahoo, who's notorious.
Who?
There's an account or several accounts. I don't know, but the name is just Ken M. And he replies to Yahoo Answers with some of the dumbest answers. It's entirely as a joke, but people have actually believed him.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
So the biggest moron for lying this week, would it be the alt-right white nationalist trolls, the Russian curler, or the lawyer?
The people who think the kids who died weren't real.
Okay.
Yeah.
I go along with that.
Yeah.
I agree.
Which, by the way, was repeated today by none other than that paragon of sanity and moral turpitude, Ted Nugent.
Yes. Yes. What a guy.
You know, for all he loves America, from what he says, I saw that
he
apparently
doesn't love America.
He managed to get out of the draft by throwing all hygiene to the wind for a month before he was supposed to be enlisted. And then whether or not that's true, I don't know. But apparently it came from him.
Right.
And then he denies that he ever dodged the draft. I mean, you know.
Because he's a liar.
And that wraps up the We Are Telling the Truth, But Others Are Lying podcast. Alongside John Roland, who is our friendly neighborhood producer and voice of reason, and our friendly neighborhood historian, Soren Fanning.
Happy to be here.
Indeed. I am your friendly neighborhood communications professor, Anthony Moretti. We will talk to you next week when we do the Double Twos, 2-2 episode of Upon Further Review with
the Podcast Profs.
Indeed.